from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Let's go.
On a Tuesday evening, we welcome you in. It is time for Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, a Graybar Sports Open Line. Welcome in with you till 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you'd like to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can also tweet into the program at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We've got a lot to get to today. Nate Gatter is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Joe Roderick from the World Baseball Classic Championship game is going to join us at 6:35. And then next hour, Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, he is going to join us as well. We'll keep an eye on what's going on the World Baseball Classic. The United States against Japan. We know about all the players who are Cardinals that are participating in this, both for Team USA, obviously Lars Nootbaar for Team Japan. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to this. You know, we had on yesterday's show, we had good interactions. And I say that, I like saying good interactions. Like, I don't have to agree with you for it to be a good interaction. I enjoy the act of disagreeing with people and kind of talking through things. That is something that I take great enjoyment of. I think sometimes in our society and our culture today, we have forgotten how to disagree with people and not hate the people that we disagree with. So we had good conversations yesterday through the text line about people who do not like the World Baseball Classic and think that players need to be focusing more on their respective major league teams. And I've thought about that a lot over the last 24 hours. I spent yesterday driving home, yesterday evening, just kind of thinking through it. And something I didn't say yesterday, but I really kind of feel. I think we need to accept sometimes that things are bigger than our feelings about it. We can sit here and say, I don't care about the World Baseball Classic. Okay, that's fine. You can say that. I'm not saying that. Matt Pauley is not saying that. Matt likes the World Baseball Classic. But you, Joe Schmo, can say, I don't like the World Baseball Classic. It doesn't do anything for me. Cool. Like, you've got that right. I got no problem with you not liking the World Baseball Classic. I don't care what you like and what you don't like. My enjoyment of the World Baseball Classic is not going to be impacted by you liking it or you not liking it. But I think where there is a disconnect that I do disagree with, that I do think many people are flat out wrong on, is people take their personal beliefs and apply it to everybody else. I don't like the World Baseball Classic, you might say. Therefore, Jose Altuve shouldn't like the World Baseball Classic, and he shouldn't have been playing in it, so he shouldn't have been in that situation where he got injured. I don't like the World Baseball Classic, so therefore Edwin Diaz shouldn't like the World Baseball Classic, and he shouldn't have been in that situation where he was celebrating a win and he ends up getting injured. We take our personal beliefs and try to force them upon other people. And the bottom line is these players do like the World Baseball Classic. These games do mean something to them. It is an important thing that is going on for these players. Now, it's a completely other topic, I guess, if whether or not they should be playing this. But like I keep saying, it's the least terrible time to play it. But to try to, I keep hearing the term like meaningless. Meaningless is thrown around a lot in this discussion. The World Baseball Classic is meaningless. No, it isn't. It is not meaningless. And this is not something where we agree to disagree. No, if you think it's meaningless, you're wrong. You are absolutely 100% wrong. Because if it has meaning to any player, it, from a dictionary standpoint, it cannot be meaningless. If Adam Wainwright goes and says, this is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball, these games matter. If we see people from the Latin American countries going crazy, if we hear people saying that that it means more to win the WBC than it does to win the World Series, that brings meaning to these games. So they are not meaningless. Stop saying that these games are meaningless. They might be meaningless to you, but that doesn't matter. Okay? If I all of a sudden decide that I don't like pizza, well, that doesn't mean pizza doesn't taste good. That means I don't like it, right? Like that, and it's a weird analogy to go with there. And by the way, I will never not like pizza because pizza is amazing. But you get what I'm saying. We have to stop taking our own personal biases and trying to throw them and apply them to everybody else. The World Baseball Classic might not have meaning to you, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have meaning. And I think it's a really important designation to make when we're having this conversation. And that's been where my frustration has come in with some of the reaction to the WBC. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad at you for not liking it. Don't watch it. There's a lot going on in sports right now. There's other stuff on TV. Like I always say this about people who do nothing but watch like cable news. I think cable news, whether you're watching far to the right or far to the left, it doesn't matter. This is not a political statement whatsoever. There are people out there that sit there in their homes and do nothing but watch cable news. And I think these are the angriest people in the world. And I think it's part of why our society has gotten angry. Turn the channel. Go watch a show. There's millions of dollars being produced to create comedies and dramas. Like, you don't want to watch sports. Okay, go find a show you like. Stop watching it. Like, bring some happiness, bring some joy into your life. And maybe watching the World Baseball Classic will bring some happiness, bring some joy. I'm watching a montage of fans right now on the screen as we get ready for the WBC, and it's nothing but fans just enjoying themselves. Let's have fun. That's we're talking about sports here. That's why I got into sports broadcasting, and I didn't get into hard news. I didn't get into politics. I got into sports. We like to call it the toy department of sports broadcasting. That's what it is. It's fun. It's fun. And let's have fun. Let's enjoy this thing together. We'll see if the United States can win a WBC as we'll be watching this coming up tonight. All right. When we return, we'll continue the fun. Nate Gatter, part of the team here at KMOX now. You hear him here and there. This is the St. Louis Soccer Report. He's all over the place. We'll talk soccer. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk Missouri. We'll talk a lot of things with Nate Gatter. He joins us in just a moment or so. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
News Radio KMOX, the home of the Cardinals.
A great match, Sports Open Line rolling on here on a Tuesday night on KMOX, 314-436-7900. That's how you call and or text. Probably just or. If you want to call or text, you can do both. Or tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Earlier today when Matt Pajeski and I were putting together the show and we were talking about getting Nate Gatter on, Matt said, well, what do you want to talk about with Nate? And I said, City SC, Missouri, and general shenanigans. So we will start with the general shenanigans as we welcome Nate Gatter onto the program. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm good. Are you good with general shenanigans?
Always.
Okay. That's good. So I was just talking about this a moment ago. Where are you at on the World Baseball Classic?
I'm all about it, to be honest. I mean, I understand that we all worry about guys getting hurt, doing something that quote unquote doesn't matter, but I will say I'm having a hard time, just from a human standpoint, figuring out why I'm supposed to think the World Baseball Classic doesn't matter. Because guys get hurt in spring training, and the World Baseball Classic seems to matter a lot more than spring training. Guys get hurt in the regular season, and although the players are getting paid to play in the regular season and not paid to play in the World Baseball Classic, from, again, just a human standpoint, a fan standpoint, a cultural relevance standpoint, it seems clear to me that the World Baseball Classic matters a lot more than most baseball that happens between April and September. So with the exception of playoff games and the World Series, I'm struggling to understand why I'm supposed to pretend that the World Baseball Classic doesn't matter. I mean, nobody would say the World Cup doesn't matter because the stars who play in it are making way more money to play in the Premier League or to play in La Liga or whatever. Nobody makes that argument in soccer. So I really, it's starting to fall more and more flat for me. It's very sad when guys get hurt. The Edwin Diaz situation is just, you know, borderline tragic, at least within a sporting context. And certainly it would have been the kind of thing that sent shockwaves through St. Louis had Nolan Arenado's hit by pitch been worse the other night and had his x-rays not been negative or had something else gone wrong with his hand that was going to cost him time. And I would have been disappointed not to see him on the field for the Cardinals, but I would have a hard time looking at him and straight in the face and saying that playing Cuba in Miami for the first time the Cubans have been there in more than half a century is somehow less important baseball than playing the Pirates in mid-May.
I'm going to go to kind of a pseudo-dark place here. If you're a Major League Baseball team, it's actually better to have injuries that occur during the WBC than happen during spring training because you're insured against those injuries. Like the Mets are going to get a big old check from the insurance company this year. Not a single penny that they were supposed to pay Edwin Diaz is going to come out of their pocket this year. That's all covered by insurance. The entire time that Jose Altuve is out, the Astros are going to receive a check from an insurance company. So if injuries are going to happen no matter what, from a team perspective, it's financially better for them to happen during the WBC.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously that's grim, but it points to the overall that who's really suffering from this. Well, the players who get hurt are, but if you imagine they have a similar chance of getting hurt in March, and that's the rub. I assume some people would say, well, they're less likely to get hurt in March playing in spring training than they are in the World Baseball Classic. Maybe that's true. The Edwin Diaz thing is such a fluke. I mean, obviously after a spring training win, he wouldn't be jumping up and down celebrating, so that injury wouldn't happen, but it's such a fluke. It could happen, you know, stepping out of his apartment in the morning or whatever. Like, there's no way to know when something like that can go down. I think, to that point, if we wanted to just be as careful as we could about the injuries, I could see an argument for not playing it in March, that this is a problematic time to play it because of the nature of, like, where guys' bodies are. And the fact that this is supposed to be in the middle of their ramp-up time, maybe even the first couple of weeks of March, or maybe more on the early side of their ramp-up time, especially for position players. And so to go from that to now pushing themselves probably even harder than they do for the most part during the regular season, because these games, the magnitude of these individual games are much closer to playoff games than they are to regular season games. I could see that argument that maybe we're putting them in jeopardy to some degree, but it's not like we're seeing pitchers leaving the game with elbows or shoulders,
yeah,
or we're seeing position players, you know, pulling hamstrings, running out ground balls. Hit by pitches on the hand can happen at any time and have nothing to do with how in baseball shape you are. Guy jumping up and down and messing up his knee, you know, that's just pure bad luck, has nothing to do with anything. I saw an argument, though, that for health reasons and for sporting reasons, because right now they're having to compete against the NCAA tournament, they're having to compete against the stretch run in the NBA season, and just people aren't really in baseball mode yet, that you can make an argument for trying, especially if they shorten the season generally, for trying to squeeze the World Baseball Classic every few years into the middle of the summer somewhere and put it around the All-Star break in some way. That would probably be logistically challenging, especially because we keep starting the season earlier and ending it later, and nobody likes cold weather baseball really to begin with. So I don't really want to play more in March or more in November than we already are. But I can see the wisdom to trying for the purposes of eyeballs and for the purposes of health, trying to put it more in the middle of the season rather than before the season even starts.
All right, let's talk Missouri. You're part of the Missouri broadcast crew on SEC Network Plus. I always kind of chuckle when a team exceeds expectations, but then the season ends in kind of a low way and people get frustrated. Like, I understand it's not great to lose to a 15 seed, and it's not great to look like the 15 seed is clearly the better team on the floor. But at the same time, it's hard to take a step back and look at this Missouri season as anything but just a rousing success.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, obviously, I still had optimism for how Mizzou would play. I mean, anytime you're playing a 15 seed, at the same time, I think Princeton has proven enough from their two games so far to say that 15 is way too low for them. And ultimately, Mizzou did not defend the three-point line anywhere near the way they did against Utah State. They didn't shoot the three well. They were obviously efficiency comes into this a little bit, but just from a raw three-pointers made standpoint, they gave up 18 points at the three-point line. Like that, this Mizzou team is just not going to win if they're minus 18 from beyond the arc. On top of that, Princeton completely dominated them on the glass. And normally you'd say, how is an SEC team getting out-rebounded by 14 against an Ivy League team? And the answer is that Princeton was bigger and stronger and more athletic up front than Arizona. Forget about Mizzou, the literal worst rebounding team in the entire country in all of Division I out of, 350-odd teams. So in that sense, the things that Mizzou really struggled with, especially rebounding and the interior presence, was not surprising at all. I mean, it's weird to say, but Princeton is the bigger, stronger, more athletic team in the front court. And we should have expected them to dominate the glass. I thought Mizzou would shoot the three better. There's really nothing to be done about that. It's one of the eternal truisms, if you will, about the NCAA tournament, that if you don't shoot the three well enough, you're just not going to win. And that's a lot of teams' season end because they have a really lousy three-point shooting game that's out of character. I was shocked by how poorly they defended the three-point line. That's something that should have been more within their control. They proved against Utah State that it was within their control. They didn't concede a three-pointer against Utah State in the first half. They only gave up four for the entire game. I would have liked to see them try to keep that going better against Princeton. I think if they limit Princeton to more like six or seven threes, it's probably a very different game. But, yeah, like you said, it's still overall a rousing success considering where the expectations were coming into the season. I see no reason not to be optimistic about Dennis Gates going forward, especially if he's able to recruit more four-year players, because this was a pretty thrown-together roster. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He clearly threw it together very well. But this was a roster put together to compete this year on sort of a piecemeal basis with a ton of mid-major guys. On top of that, the last thing, and we've talked about this before, is they never really ended up getting a whole lot from Isaiah Mosley, who was supposed to be the centerpiece of the whole thing. So considering all those factors to win 25 games and get to the second round for the first time in almost 15 years, that's pretty impressive accomplishment.
You are the co-host of the St. Louis City Soccer Report, which folks can hear on the weekends here on KMOX. Also, you'll be in for me on Friday, I believe, right? On Sports Open Line. Do I have that right? Are you in on Friday?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty abridged Sports Open Line on Friday night, I think, with the Cardinals playing a 5 p.m. game.
Okay.
But we'll do our best.
All right. Well, you'll do great. It'll be the greatest 15 minutes edition of the program ever. But before we get you out of here, I don't even know what to ask at this point, because every week it feels like City, it's becoming more and more legit. Like it felt kind of fluky after 2 weeks, and then after 3 weeks, you're like, all right, maybe they may be a little better. And then they put up a clean sheet and they beat San Jose 3-0 and kind of dominate that. And now all of a sudden, this just feels like a really legit thing that's going on. Am I correct in saying that?
For sure, for sure. I think the first clean sheet is a big deal. The fact that they've scored 11 goals in four games, that's a way stronger number. I think any of us thought they were going to have. I believe they're plus seven in goal difference now, which is second best in the league behind Atlanta. They're the only team to have 12 points from 12. You can go down the list. This has been a phenomenal start in essentially every way. I have two concerns, and they're really not problems with things. First of all, this schedule has not been a gauntlet. Playing away to Austin and away to Portland, those are two of the toughest atmospheres in the league in which to win. Plus for that. But Austin's really the only substantially above average team that I'm convinced is above average, and even they got off to a really bad start to the season. So we'll see how things go. I'm not convinced they have played a really good team yet, a true contender. So that's one thing to temper expectations. This is sort of a 1B. This is not a super tough matchup coming up Saturday night for them, 8:30 kickoff on our sister station, Y98, against Real Salt Lake. But it will be their first time trying to play this style at altitude, which I think is going to be interesting. We've talked a lot about how is it going to work over the summer when things get really hot and humid in St. Louis. We haven't talked about How's it going to work in Utah and in Colorado, where they'll be headed just a little bit later on this spring? So I think that'll be an interesting first test. And then two out of three of them are at home, but their first three games in April are going to be much bigger challenges. Minnesota, then away to Seattle, but probably as tough a match as there is, maybe with the exception of away to LAFC or away to Philadelphia, but right up there with one of the toughest matches there is in the league. And then back home to play a much improved FC Cincinnati team. So we'll see how it goes in Utah. And then I'm really excited to see those first three games in April. And if they could, let's say they could take another 8 or 9 points from these next four games, then we have to start talking about, is this team really a contender? And that would be a crazy conversation to have. And then we could turn our attention to what, if anything, will ownership be willing to do to bolster this team over the summer, because they still don't have a lot of depth and they still have an empty DP slot that doesn't count against the cap. Those were all things we weren't worried about because we expected this to be a building year where they were toward the bottom of the conference. If they continue these kind of results, I think the pressure is going to be on Lutz Pfannenstiel and it's going to be on Carolyn Kindle to make the moves, and in Carolyn's case, to provide the backing necessary to let this team contend for a cup if they're really ready to do it already.
He is Nate Gatter. You hear him on here on KMOX. He'll be in on a Friday here on Sports Open Line for an abbreviated program, St. Louis City Soccer Report over the course of the weekends, and just overall good guy. Nate, always appreciate your time. We'll do it again real soon.
Wonderful shenanigans, sir.
All right, very good. Nate Gatter joining us here on the program. Speaking of shenanigans, Joe Roderick joins us from the World Baseball Classic Championship. USA and Japan scoreless in the first. We're back with more Graybar Sports Open Line in just a moment on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
A great bar sports open line continues on. Team USA, Team Japan matched up in the WBC Championship. We go to Miami. I'm going to call him our WBC correspondent. I've been hosting this show for like 7-8 months. I don't think we've ever had a correspondent. So this is going to make Joe Roderick our first ever correspondent. He's our WBC correspondent joining us right now from Miami. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, if you want to talk with Tom or Steve or anybody and make me a correspondent for Camo X for any events, I'm more than willing to sit down at the table and talk about that.
Okay. We can, I have no power whatsoever on that, but I can at least give an affirming yes to that, and then we'll see where that goes. Should mention you are covering the WBC for Klaibs Online, so folks should always check out the great content that's being pushed out on an everyday basis at Klaibs Online. Yesterday's game, can you just, when that game finished, can you talk me through what the environment was like inside of that stadium?
So this might surprise you, but it was a celebration. It really, on both sides of it. I think that both sides, both fans, both teams were, and this has been described more and more as it goes on, as a World Cup, to where it's a friendly competition between the greats representing their countries, to where there aren't rivalries. There isn't fighting. You haven't seen fans in the stands fighting each other. This isn't a Yankees Red Sox type of rivalry. These are rivalries between fans that are passionate about their countries, players that are passionate about their countries and representing it. And after the game ended, Mexico, who gave up a 3-run lead, who then, took another lead and then gave it up in the bottom of the ninth inning. You see, they stand out outside of the first base dugout. They wave to their fans and salute all of the fans that are there at the game. And then you walk outside. So here at Lone Depot Park, they have an area. Imagine if you had to go through security to get into Ballpark Village, like to get into that area, and you're just kind of hanging out or on Clark Street or whatever. They have that all around the stadium here. They've had live bands throughout this entire event every night and between games, after games. And Japanese fans and Mexican fans just dancing together, celebrating together, just having a good time last night. Nobody upset with the other one about the way the game ended. It was a really, really cool thing to see.
It feels like, again, I know the WBC has been going on for a while, and maybe I'm just being the ultimate prisoner of the moment, but it feels like this year is the one where it's finally found its identity.
Yeah, and I don't really understand why it took this long. I've thought about that, and I've wondered what made it so special this year as opposed to other years. Is it because maybe the star power that we've seen openly talk about it this year, when you have a Trout, an Ohtani, maybe it's because there are multiple countries that have this star power. I don't know, but in years past, you had that too. I mean, you had Derek Jeter playing in it, you had Ichiro playing in it, you had all of the great players from the Dominican Republic playing in it. So I don't understand what it is about this year that's different. I think in years past, I mean, even the televised aspect of it is weird, because in years past, I believe like ESPN would hold it. This year, all the games have been on FS1 for the most part. Like, tonight's game is not on Big Fox. It's on FS1. If this was a World Series, it would be on Fox. If this was the World Cup Finals, it would be on, I guess, Fox. I guess they had the rights to it last year. Like, that's, I don't understand why suddenly this has become the hype for it, but I love that it is. And earlier today in a press conference, Rob Manfred said that it's coming back for sure in 2026. So we know that 3 years now, any team, like, are you Team Mexico now, they were with three outs away from winning it and being in this championship game. You don't think those players are going to go out and recruit and make sure they have the best team possible in 3 years? If America wins again tonight, they're going to want a three-peat, you know? Japan, what does Japan have to do? If they, I think you are going to start seeing maybe some more recruitment. And I think maybe it's just the players now that just love this and they see how much fun they're having. It's really hard to explain. It's hard to really put my finger on why this seems more important than it ever has before.
So this isn't totally a WBC topic, but you mentioned something when it comes to this being on FS1. And while, yes, the World Series goes on Fox, Fox has moved whichever championship series they have to FS1, where that used to be on Fox. We've seen games getting moved off of broadcast and to cable networks. And we've also seen the World Series ratings have been going consistently in a downward direction for a good number of years. And that's why we've had all these rules changes. Like, they're trying, at the end of the day, the reason they're doing rules changes is because they want to bounce back in TV ratings. And I'm really curious to see if it's going to work. If the game's going 2.5 hours turns into a lot more people paying attention to baseball, and therefore the numbers coming back up, maybe the next time around on TV negotiations, Fox says, you know what, we are going to put the NLCS back on Fox. Maybe they say, you know what, the World Baseball Classic is a little bit more appealing because we got more people watching baseball, and we're going to put it on Fox. I feel like the sport of baseball is very much at a crossroads right now, and that's not always a bad thing. Like, they're almost at a crossroads trying to come out of a negative area, and I just don't know what the result's going to be.
And plus, I mean, you look at some of the issues they might be having with regional sports this year, with the regional coverage this year. There are going to be some conversations that need to be had with how baseball is carried on TV. So, and maybe it's a case, I have Hulu TV. That's how I watch stuff. So if I bring up Hulu, I don't know what channel things are on. It just tells me, hey, this is the game. This is, by other things you have watched, we think you would want to watch this game, and I click on it. I don't have to go find whatever number channel it is. So I know the way we view things is different, and maybe it's not that big of a deal. Or maybe, Masked Singer or Farmer Wants a Wife or whatever's on Fox tonight is more important to them than this baseball game. I don't know what.
Hey, hold on. We do not want Masked Singer. Slander of Masked Singer is not allowed on a program hosted by Matt Pauly.
I apologize. I didn't know that was a buzzword for you.
That's a big show in the Pauly household, all right?
So I just think the way that we watch things is so different these days that, I don't know. I mean, in my case, if they were bumping Friday Night Smackdown to FS1 instead of Fox, I'd be upset about that. So, I get it, okay? I understand where you're coming from.
Last year, there was a playoff game that went a bunch of innings, or there was a rain delay, and it got started late. I don't remember the exact details. And Masked Singer got bumped. Hell hath no fury. Like Stephanie Pauly when she does not have her Masked Singer. Just throwing that. And I was right there next to her in case she's listening. I was right there next to her. All right, let's move on because I'm sure people really don't want to hear about Masked Singer. Top of the second, no score, Team USA, Team Japan.
The crowd just started screaming really loud about something. So something's about to happen. If you're watching it on TV, I don't know what, though.
Okay, no, Matt Pajeski just asked if we could take the audio. We cannot. And, home run. Turner just hit a home run. Looks like Team USA is up.
Turner just hit another home run.
Oh, my gosh. We wow. Played the I Am an American Hero song coming in. Like, I'm always careful in using that term when talking about sports. But from a sports hero standpoint, obviously, real American heroes are not playing sports. They're doing other things to defend our country. But my goodness, I mean, Trey Turner is this is an incredible run for him from that grand slam he hit and now this home run today in the championship game.
Yeah, it's what he's doing. I mean, you know, last night, Mark DeRosa mentioned him, you know, not wanting to mess with him in the lineup either and keeping him down in that nine spot. And so I was shocked today when I got here and got the lineup card and saw that he was batting six. So Mark DeRosa, and you know, maybe he wants to do this. Maybe he wants to manage games in the future for a big league club. He dialed the right number tonight.
Oh, he's got a plum gig. He should not leave that to go become a big league manager.
You wouldn't think so.
No. He's in good shape. All right, he is our WBC correspondent. He missed out on seeing Trey Turner's home run because he had to go find a place where he could actually hear us. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your reports, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the program very, very soon. Safe travels back.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you very much.
All right, there's Joe Roderick, Klabes Online, joining us. Klabes Online. Let's get that out correctly. And Team USA up 1-0 over Team Japan. We'll keep you updated as we go along. We'll wrap up hour one of the program. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley on KMOX.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
A Gray Bar Sports Open Line rolling on here on KMOX. Don't forget about kegs and eggs. It's happening as you get ready for Cardinals opening day. You're able to go enjoy yourself inside of a tent, private bathrooms, which is really important on that day considering everything that's going on. All the details available. It's presented by Budweiser. All the details available. KMOX.com/events. Blues are in action tonight. They take on the Detroit Red Wings. Hello, I can see the traffic coming in. I got to say, the general sports conversation in the city, we've seen the Blues kind of move down a few notches just in terms of what we're talking about. But the fact that they're consistently just having great crowds, it doesn't matter how well or how not well the team is playing. Like we've spent a lot of time kind of patting ourselves on the back, and rightfully so, in terms of St. Louis sports fans, the 60,000 people in St. Louis on Saturday for City and for the Battlehawks. The Blues aren't very good this year, and they're still having huge crowds on an every night basis, and it is a credit to the Blues as an organization. It's a credit to Blues fans, and it is certainly cool to see. Tonight, the Detroit Red Wings are in town. Craig Berube, Blues coach, spoke with the media earlier today, said what he saw in Detroit as he was getting ready to coach his team against the Red Wings.
Well, they got a lot of good young players on their team. They added some veterans this year. I made them more competitive for sure. They got good speed. They play a, you know, pretty good brand of hockey all around. I think they've been pretty good all year. They're not in a playoff spot, but they're still battling a little bit here. So, like I said, the veterans they added made them a better team this year with Perron, Kopp, Sherratt, maybe a couple other guys. But to mix in with their young guys that are up and coming, they have they got some defensemen that are really going to be really good players in this league.
Yeah, it feels like they're not a bad team. They're not a great team, but they're not a bad team. You heard him mention a former Blue in David Perron.
Yeah, like I've talked about, he's a highly competitive guy. I think that stands out most for me is his competitiveness as a player and a person. and that's what drives him. And that's why he's still playing the game and still producing, you know, at a later age in his career. Great shot for sure. And really a very, you know, I didn't know him when he was younger, but when I had him here, he was a vocal leader in the locker room on the bench.
Another former Blue on the Red Wings would be Ville Husso.
You know, he played really good. I mean, you know, last year he I don't know how many games he played, but he had an excellent save percentage and goals against and, you know, earned a start the playoffs, and he did, but, you know, it switched, but, you know, he was solid for us all year in that.
Probably the biggest storyline right now when it comes to the Blues, and outside of just giving some younger players an opportunity, and this is kind of a subset of that, but more specifically, how it's impacting some of the more veteran players. Tonight, Jordan Binnington is going to be the backup, and they're going to go with Joel Hofer instead. He's done a nice job. He's a young goaltender, and he's getting an opportunity. And tonight, he's getting an opportunity over the guy who's been the starter all season long.
Yeah, for now, we'll just play it by ear. He's in tonight, so we'll you know, evaluate after the game tonight.
Is that a tough conversation with Binnington or not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. It's tough with both goalies, I think, you know. They've been here all year, and but that's part of the business and game and where we're at right now. So they're good pros. And they just go out and work hard. Like, I mean, they get ready.
Small sample size, but what stands out to you about Hofer so far in these two games?
Well, like his size for sure in net and his ability in net. He's got good ability, and, you know, he's aggressive with his play and his puck play. He's been calm in net. You know, he hasn't gotten rattled or anything like that I've seen. So his mind's in a good spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned it's a tough conversation with Jordan Binnington because it feels like they're giving Hofer a look over Binnington. What that means moving forward, probably not a whole lot of anything. Thomas Greiss is kind of on the wrong end of this as well, as now he's going to end up being a healthy scratch, and his time with the team is coming to an end. He's not going to be back with the team coming up next season, so that's kind of where they're at right now. All right, that's just about going to do it for hour number one of the program. I invite you to call or text coming up for our next segment after the news, 314-436-7900. We're going to talk about the starting pitching situation for the Cardinals. Jack Flaherty pitched today, was okay. Dakota Hudson being sent down. Looks like Jake Woodford's probably going to have a big league opportunity. What are your thoughts on the Cardinals starter? We'll take those phone calls and texts coming up after the news right here on KMOX.